As we approach the end of the church year, the main theme of our readings today is the day of the Lord, or the second coming of Jesus in glory as judge at the end of the world. The readings warn us about the final days of the world, our own death and final judgment. But first, a little story. Before the breakup of the Soviet Union, Christians of all denominations were routinely persecuted for their faith by the communist regime. One small group of believers used to meet in a family home every Sunday. They would arrive at different times to avoid suspicion. One particular Sunday, they were all safely inside the building with the curtains drawn and the doors locked. They had been singing and praying for a while when the door burst open and two armed soldiers crushed in. One shouted, "Everybody up against the wall. If you wish to renounce your faith in Jesus Christ, you can leave and no harm will be done to you." Two people left right away. Then a third and a fourth struggled out. "This is your last chance," the soldier warned. "Either turn your back on this Jesus of yours or stay and suffer the consequences." Two more slipped outside, crying and ashamed. No one else moved. Parents with small children trembling beside them looked down reassuringly. They fully expected to be gunned down or imprisoned. But before we finish this story about the Russian persecutors, let's look at our gospel and readings for today. In the first reading from Malachi, when Judah returned from exile in Babylon, the people and their leaders showed a tendency to lead loose moral lives. They had adopted this lifestyle from living in contact with the pagans. The priests were irresponsible, ignorant, indulgent leaders, failing to correct abuses. Therefore, in today's reading, the prophet Malachi in the 5th century B.C. chided them for their religious impiety, dishonesty, and marriage with pagans, for which they hoped foolishly to avoid punishment. The Lord God, through Malachi, warned Israel that the day of the Lord was coming shortly, and that he had taken note of the goodness of those who feared him and would have compassion on them in his day of coming. But he would punish the wicked and the proud on the day of the Lord by setting them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch. The image here is that of a blazing oven. For the sinful, the day will be a day of fiery purification. For the righteous, it will be a day of healing. In the second reading from Paul, the earliest Christians expected Jesus to come again soon in his glory, the parousia, bringing history to its climax with God's final judgment of the living and the dead. Some among the Thessalonians responded to this prospect by abandoning their customary lives and work and leading lives of idleness. They asked themselves, "Why should we spend the small amount of time we have before the parousia in hard labor?" Some of them were more interested in minding other people's business. Hence, St. Paul corrects them by asking them to imitate his own example of manual work. He worked as a tent maker or a leather worker of some sort, and preaching and warning them, "If anyone is willing to work, neither should that one eat." By his manual labor, Paul supported his ministry, preaching his beliefs of word and deed to his fellow workers. We too must keep ourselves busy by faithfully discharging our duties and actively bearing witness to Christ through our lives as we wait in hope for the second coming. Today's gospel warns us that the date of the end of the world is uncertain. Signs and portents will precede the end, and the faithful will be called upon to testify before kings and governors. The good news, however, is that those who persevere in faithfulness to the Lord will save their souls and enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ's second coming is something to celebrate because he's going to present all creation to his heavenly Father. That is why we proclaim his second coming at Mass when we say, We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again. For Luke's community, which had experienced much persecution, Jesus' words about people being handed over by parents, brothers, relations, and friends were beginning to happen. This they would find, as Jesus' original disciples did, that Jesus' promise of the protective power of a providing God through all this would serve them as real encouragement to persevere in their faith and its practice. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Jesus also prophesied the signs of destruction of Jerusalem and of the world in order to prepare his original disciples for the more immediate coming disaster and remind them to rely upon him for salvation, not to rely upon their own power. A renowned scripture scholar suggests that people that preach the coming of the end of the world perform a valuable service for us. They keep the second coming before our eyes. Prophets of doom in every century point to historical calamities, wars and revolts, cosmic disasters, great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence, and signs in heaven, like solar eclipse and comets, as signs of the end. This is a direct contradiction of Jesus' words. He tells us not to try to predict the end, but to live loyally and lovingly in situations which in many cases are hostile to the gospel. Instead of destroying us, persecution and martyrdom will gain us eternal life. At the end of the discourse, Jesus gives his assurance, not a hair from your head will perish. God's saving purpose will certainly triumph, because contrary to appearances, he remains firmly in control. Don't forget, we are resurrection people. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we have hope. Hope that if we live a life of faith and goodness, we will join Jesus in heaven for eternity. The way to glory is traveled more often through day-by-day endurance rather than isolated acts of heroic virtue. Here is a practical spirituality each of us can live, whatever our current situation may be. Let us return to the story about the Russian persecutors. The soldier warned, "This is your last chance. Either turn your back on this Jesus of yours or stay and suffer the consequences." Two more people slipped outside, crying and ashamed. No one else moved. Parents with small children trembling beside them looked down reassuringly. The people in the home expected to be gunned down on the spot or imprisoned. After a few moments of silence, the soldiers closed the door. One of them said, "Keep your hands up, but this time to praise our Lord Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, we too are Christians. We were sent to another church like this several weeks ago, and we became believers. The other soldier added, "We are sorry to have frightened those who left, but we have learned that unless people are willing to die for their faith, they cannot be fully trusted." In times of trouble, our faith is tested, and we have a chance to do for Christ what he did for us: love him to the end. So what are our life messages? We need to be prepared daily for death and judgment. The ideal way to accept Jesus' apocalyptic message is always to be ready to face our death. We must live holy lives of selfless love, mercy, compassion, and unconditional forgiveness. We must also take time to rest and pray in order to keep our hearts alive to God's presence with and within us. Also, daily examination of our conscience at bedtime, asking God's pardon and forgiveness, prepares us to face God at any time to give an account of our lives. Secondly, we need to attain permanence in a passing world by leading exemplary lives. Our homes, our churches, and even our own lives are temporary. All our structures are provisional. Our influence has no more claims to permanence than our buildings. Hence, our task is not to build mountains of any kind, but to be faithful to Christ. How our faithfulness is expressed each day is the most important thing. We are to persevere in our faith despite worldly temptations, attacks on religion and moral values by the atheistic and agnostic media, threats of social isolation, and indirect and direct persecution because of our religious beliefs. Let us conclude this church year by praying for the grace to endure patiently any trials that are essential to our affirmation of Jesus Christ, our Savior.